You can have all the faith in the world and the greatest relationship with God and not experience healing in this life. But you can experience wholeness. I don't feel like my life isn't whole.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. It's easy to hear the word chronic illness and think it's just a vague term that means you don't have a diagnosis. That is, until you or someone you love is actually living with chronic illness, and then it means something completely different. I will never forget the feeling that grew and grew as my husband's diagnosis of ALS unfolded. It was a feeling not just of overwhelm, but a little desperation and confusion too. So many chronic illnesses don't have a straight line for development. There's no typical rate of progression or easy list of symptoms or cures. And the more you uncover about your own illness, the more isolating it feels. Just learning about it and how to manage it and where to get help and advice and relief is more than a full-time job. It's a lot. And it takes brave souls to navigate chronic illness. As a woman who's fought lupus for over 30 years, Gaynell Lynn Condie has some great heartfelt advice for both those who are watching the chronic health battles play out in the people around them and advice for the individuals with the illness. But first, let me introduce you to Gaynell Lynn and have her tell you a little of her story. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I would love to have a conversation about chronic illness. I'd love to start by just describing what living with chronic illness is like from your perspective.
32 years ago, I was diagnosed. I had been married 2 years. And let's go back, travel in time, to the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, my hair was still big.
Great.
I was perming it. Okay,
awesome.
I had a really big wedding bouquet. It was bigger than my body, you know, back in the day, and big sleeves on the wedding dress. But Rob and I got married. We planned out our life, which is super cute. It was cute. It was a cute outline.
It was really cute. I'm sure it was adorable.
It had a picket fence and a dog.
Of course it did. Doy.
I mean, isn't that everybody's plan? And so we'd planned out our life, and we had no health insurance, and we were poor college students, and we were putting ourselves through college. Both of us were getting our degrees, our bachelor's. And so community college, cute, and then enrolled in ASU West Campus, Sun Devils. And I was managing a YMCA after-school program. And I tell the story that I was driving to like a weekend training for that. And I had these like 3 random symptoms. I got like a sunburn in the car driving. My feet swelled up and I had sores in my mouth.
Hmm.
And fast forward, after only 1 or 2 health appointments with my regular family doc, they ran some blood work and the diagnosis came back pretty fast. I was told I had 10 years to live. Did you not know that?
No,
I didn't. And that we would never have kids. There was just this convergence of like, wait, I only have 10 years to live. Wait, we're not going to have kids. That was not on the little outline.
Life didn't go the way Gaynell Lynn had planned in so many ways. She didn't plan on getting a life-altering illness. She didn't expect to have to deal with it her whole life. But she also didn't expect to beat the odds and do an interview about living with lupus 30 plus years after her diagnosis. Nor did she ever expect that she would be able to have 2 miracle children. It's a journey that's had valleys of devastation and miraculous peaks. And it's easy to look at Gaynell Lynn's journey and think, well, good for her. Everything's worked out. That hasn't been my experience. But Gaynell Lynn will be the first to tell you every day with chronic illness is a literal battle, particularly in the beginning.
I'm going to say this. If you are listening to this episode and you are newly diagnosed with anything, fill in the gap, please do not jump ahead to where I'm at now, 32 years later. Those first few years were really like, I crawled across the graduation stage, you know, with this huge moon face because I was on steroids. I had a beard. So not attractive. And not a lot of hair because I was on a year low dosage every week of chemo. And my cute little first graders, I have a degree in elementary education and a minor in psychology. And they were perfect because I'm trying to do my student teaching. I would take my chemo on Friday so that I'd have the weekend a little bit. But I had a cane. I was walking with a cane. And they just didn't care. First graders just don't care. They just love you.
How neat.
They were just like, oh, Mrs. Condie's the best. And I felt like, yuck. And so in those first few days and years and even months, I would say the first 5 years, I was not in this mindset of like, oh, I can live with this. Mm-hmm. We were in survival in literal sense of the word. And so I was like, okay, doctors, we're not going to talk about having a baby. We're going to talk about me living enough to graduate.
With chronic illness, sometimes the most important agenda item is just getting through the day, and that's enough. But this can be particularly hard when people don't have a concrete diagnosis for what they're experiencing. In some ways, Gaynelin knows she is lucky for having a name and explanation for her symptoms. For so many others, this isn't the case.
I talk to a lot of people that are like years and years of like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And they have all these random symptoms and they don't have a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I think the searching can be its own disease.
Everyone's journey is going to be different. But there are some important ideas that can apply to everyone, regardless of their diagnosis. And Gaynelin's first ideas are for anyone who is rubbing shoulders with those who are chronically ill, whether that be family, friends, neighbors, and even coworkers. Her first piece of advice is to not judge the chronically ill by their appearance.
I would say chronic illness is one of those stewardships that you can't always observe. Now, at that point, people are like, she doesn't look the way she used to look. She must not be doing well. But sometimes when I'm doing my worst, I look fine.
Yeah, that's
And sometimes
tricky.
When you're physically not looking great, you're doing great inside with your disease. So don't assume. I think you can understand this from your own life experience. The people closest to me can look at me and see.
Yeah. And it's important to have people who are close to you that can recognize that.
So I think the misconception is you can look at someone and know. Hopefully you have a few key people that know the long story.
Yeah.
I just found out this weekend, someone didn't know after 12 years of being my neighbor that this is my reality. And I guess Rob was talking about me because it had been a tough weekend. I had to cancel some things, right? And this sweet man texted me and he's like, I have not had any health issues most of my life. I had no idea until I talked to Rob today how much you navigate. Because on the outside, I think people see from my social media a perception. And I don't hide lupus. I'm not like...
No, you don't. But it isn't ever the full picture, even if you're not hiding anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And so...
It's just marketing.
Guess what? That was a sweet text to get. Because sometimes I'm like...
So say the thing.
Yeah, like sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm tired, you know? I went to church 2 weeks ago after I had a two-day event that I spoke at. And I thought I was hiding it pretty well because I value being at church. That's some of the things that I do that help me mentally and spiritually, right? But I was shuffling. I hurt. I hurt to walk. I hurt to stand. I had been standing for 2 days. And everyone kept stopping me at church, like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, shoot, I'm not really hiding it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not. I don't lie when people ask. I said, I'm really tired. And my lupus is really loud. That's how I say it. My lupus is loud today. It's never gone, but sometimes it's quiet.
Gaynelin's first piece of advice, don't assume a smile and nice outfit means everything's okay. Gaynelin has the nicest of smiles and the cutest of outfits on the regular, including the day she came in the studio. But as a case in point, after the interview, we were talking about the adorable shoes Gaynelin was wearing. She appreciated my love of her flats, but she pointed out that she was wearing them that day because the arthritis in her feet is so bad that any heeled shoe is simply not an option for her. And here I was thinking it was a fashion choice. Looks can be deceiving, so it's safer not to assume. Gaynelin shared a particularly poignant story about a day when she looked like a capable mom on the surface, but felt like anything but.
I remember so many times crying in the parking lot at the grocery store because we had gotten into the grocery store with the kids. We had gotten the groceries and we had gotten to the car. Who's going to help me unload them? I didn't have the energy.
Oh, that's so sad.
I remember a policeman saw me crying in the car one day and knocked on my window and my kids were in the backseat. I was like, it's fine. I'm just keeping them safe and myself safe right now for a minute. And it was just like, who's going to help me get them home, you know? And I share that sensitively knowing that I have my babies and people are still waiting on their babies. Mm-hmm. I share that I have a spouse. Some people are doing this single. Mm-hmm. I share that with those that are unemployed that are thinking, I just wish I had could go buy my groceries, right? I've been through all those seasons too. And so your blessings, you still be maybe waiting on, but man, if I could go again, I would do grocery delivery all day long.
This breaks my heart because I know how hard shopping with kids can be in the first place. Imagine a WWE match and throw in a metal cart. But to do it with serious health struggles? I can't even imagine. It reminds me of an idea shared by Henry B. Eyring. He said, "When you meet someone, treat them as if they were in serious trouble, and you will be right more than half the time." That's not just good advice for interacting with people that have chronic health issues. It's just good people advice, period. Don't assume the easy. Assume the hard. Another assumption people make is thinking that an illness looks the same for everyone.
The other misconception is just because you know one person with lupus, you don't know everything. Selena Gomez has lupus. And so every once in a while, a famous person will get your disease. Yeah. And I've watched Selena Gomez on Murders in the Building, right? Mm-hmm. I love that show. And I can see what seasons. Mm-hmm. There's just certain things you just notice, like, oh, she's probably on this drug. You don't know everybody. And it manifests differently. And so ask people that you know are dealing with chronic illness, what does support look like for you?
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing I hope today when people listen is, especially with chronic illness, ask the questions, ask your friend or your family member, how is it showing up for you? Whatever that is, fill in the blank. And then what does support look like? And if you don't want to know, don't ask.
Yeah, that's
just
the
say,
other thing.
Hey, good to see you.
The second piece of advice for family and friends, and this is actually two pieces of advice in one, treat every health journey as a unique one. Even if you know someone with the same diagnosis, and ask how you can be a supportive part of that journey. Perhaps one of the biggest ways we can show that support is giving grace to people who are struggling with their health.
Don't assume if you know someone with chronic illness that they've figured out a formula so that they can always be there for you. That's the worst part. Early days for sure. I was like, with my really good friends, I would be like, I'm saying yes. But if I bail on you, it is not because I don't love you.
Yeah.
Please know that. I tend to be the friend. If you're my friend and I don't hear from you for months, we're good. We're so good.
So it really to support, give them the benefit of the doubt and still be there for them.
Yeah. And so that's the other thing. If you have a friend that is going through chronic illness, connection may feel like, hey, I'm a one-sided friend right now. Yeah, you might be. So ask them how connection looks for them. Would they prefer a text or a phone call?
Yeah, I wouldn't even think about that.
Yeah, I don't love a good drop-in.
Yeah.
I don't, because I don't ever know. I mean, I don't have a problem not answering the door if I'm not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Which is fine.
And I don't have a problem letting it go to voice message. Why are we thinking we all have to be available 24/7? Because we are kind of, right?
Gaynalyn's third piece of advice, give your chronically ill friends a wide berth and generous window when it comes to response times. They want to be there for you, but sometimes they can't be there in the moment. So respect their intent and rest assured that the lag in communication has nothing to do with you. So those are three things we can all do for people struggling with chronic health issues. One, don't assume anything from appearances. Two, treat their health journey as a unique one with unique needs that you can help support. And three, don't judge their love for you by their response time. Now, Gaynalyn also has some advice for those with chronic illness.
This body is a gift.
Yeah,
I take it for granted. I really don't. And I move my body to move my body. So if you see me out walking around or I'm on my elliptical, usually watching Netflix, let's just be honest about that. I move my body to move my body. My body has gone through 50 million shapes and sizes. And you know what? In my home, you're not allowed to talk about your body in a bad way.
Yeah.
We're just...
It's kind of gross.
It's gross.
Considering everything that you've thought for.
Yeah, I'm like... And also, I get really triggered when people are like, oh my gosh, you look great, as if that means because I'm lower on the weight scale. Please be careful about that. I love to say to people, oh my gosh, you're glowing. That's a much better compliment than a weight-specific comment. Because sometimes at my highest weight, I was struggling to stay alive. You know, I was on medicine that made that way.
Wow.
And right now I'm on medicine that makes my body look different. And my daughter, super comfortable in her own skin. And I think that is another gift of lupus, is that she knows in our home, food isn't the enemy. And we don't talk about our bodies in a way that they're our enemy. Because to me, my body is a gift. But it's this like car that needs a new paint job. I don't take self-care for granted. It's non-negotiable. And that's through seasons of unemployment. I was getting weekly massages when we didn't have money necessarily to put money in the car for gas. Because I knew if I didn't take care of me, literally, like, the oxygen analogy on the airplane was my reality as a mama. I had fought with my life to have these babies. And if I didn't take care of myself, that meant I wasn't going to be around to take care of them. I know when I look at my calendar, oh, here's a work thing, plug in a rest day. Okay? And I used to do that, plug in a rest day and what mom stuff is on the calendar, right? So I would say no to things work-wise. And last week I got to Saturday and I had a really cool event that I got invited to. And I said no and I didn't go. And I was so mad. I was so mad at my body and frustrated. And that doesn't happen a lot because I'm very intentional. I know, like, oh, on the front end and the back end of this event, I need to plan for rest. It just wasn't enough. I thought for sure my morning event that was done by 2 would give me time to rest by 7. And it didn't. And I haven't had FOMO because I've purposely not looked on Instagram what I missed. But that was a frustration. You know, yeah. It was a frustration and it was a reminder. I used to have those a lot more. Now I'm an empty nester. And so yesterday was a full rest day, Lisa, because mm-hmm. I got to be here with you today. I learned that sometimes women and men don't learn the self-care importance until a big emergency crisis.
Gayna Lynn takes her self-care seriously. If you are chronically ill, your priorities may not look like others' priorities, and that's okay. Trust that you know what your body needs, and that includes how you eat.
For a good 10 years, I changed how I ate, and I ate very anti-inflammatory, which is cool now. Yeah. 15 years ago, no one had a gluten-free menu at the restaurant. And I was the weird one in extended family gatherings that would bring my food. And I know there was judgment. I know there were people just like, what's she about on that? Now, 50 people in the extended family are eating way weirder diets than I am. No offense, but they
are. But you don't know what you don't know.
But you don't know. And you know what? It significantly changed my health.
We all know the person who can't eat what we're serving. And sometimes we're the people who can't eat the food that's being served. Both scenarios are common, and they are fine. You don't need to apologize for taking care of your body. It's your business, not theirs, so do what works for you. That also includes taking advice from people when it comes to health regimens, products, and medications.
Massage, exercise, supplements, I do everything. And I'm sensitive when I post on social because every time, bless your hearts, y'all DM me to find that fancy little magnet mattress that will fix it all. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to dismiss. There are some woo-woo things that are in my toolbox. I have a lot of things in my toolbox. I haven't thrown out Western medicine, but I do a lot of things. I work on my mental health. I work on my emotional mm-hmm. health because it does play into my physical health.
Yeah,
it just
it's all connected.
Does. Yeah. But I'm sensitive that there's a lot of energy required to chase down all the solutions.
Yeah, there is.
There
and
is.
And that can take over.
Yeah. Maybe it's not alternative solutions that you're inundated with.
Right.
This is very complex. So when you see someone post about their health and they're trying this special drink or they went to this specialist or they went to mm-hmm. a clinic somewhere, great. But if you are just feeling this burning, and bless their hearts, I get messages from people that feel like they're doing such good things by messaging me. Mm-hmm. I've tried a lot of things, and I have 32 years of trying. Yeah. And I appreciate you, but please don't be offended if I just say, I don't feel like that's where I should go right now. Yeah. I've learned to trust myself because I have to, you know? Like, I have to learn to not be an enemy to my own body and angry at it and be sensitive, but also trust yourself because there's going to come a time where you're going to have to know that, like, you're not at war with this body. You're learning to steward over it.
Gayna Lynn's first piece of advice for people with chronic illness, you and you alone are responsible for how you care for your body, how you feed it, and how you treat it. It's no one else's business, regardless of how good their intentions are. Most people mean well, but most people aren't living your health struggles. This isn't about pleasing and placating others. It's about caring for your body in the best way you know how. Gayna Lynn has a second piece of advice for individuals with chronic illness, and it has to do with the conversations we have.
So people often ask why we only have 2 kids. Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts.
I would write a book. Maybe I'll write a book, The Rude Things We Say to Each Other at Church Every Sunday. I don't know. So for those listening that are dealing with chronic illness and navigating it, and you find yourself feeling resentful or triggered or frustrated with someone that you're working with on a regular basis, it's time to share a little bit more. I need to be honest with you. Your tone with emails and messages around some work stuff right now doesn't feel sensitive. And that's okay because I haven't told you.
Yeah.
I haven't told you. Things aren't great right now. It looks great, right? It looks great because I'm showing up still. But the off time, the downtime mm-hmm. is not great. And I wish what I normally do that kind of helps me regroup, it's not working right now. And it's bad. It's hard right now. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say it's my responsibility to also not make you all mind readers. But I also am so much more than lupus.
Being honest with others about our illnesses and struggles may help bridge the gap between us. But there will always be people who just don't get what we're going through.
So they don't get it. They don't get it. I've learned to not waste my energy trying to explain. And then also come up with answers that are good for in the hallway at church. When really people don't, they want the 30-second answer. You'll know the people that really truly want to understand mm-hmm. where you're coming from in your life. And I would say maybe you're talking about a coworker that you see all the time that needs to get it. That's different.
That's different.
Yeah. So you can say, hey, maybe you're not aware. I want to fill you in. These mm-hmm. are some of my symptoms and this is how it shows up. Like if I'm going mm-hmm. to the bathroom 52 times, that's what's going on. It's true. Or if I'm late. This is what's going on, okay? Yeah. But you may never feel from that boss or that coworker that it clicks, that they have empathy. One of the examples is, have you ever met those people that have never had depression?
Yeah.
I'm always like, what's that island like? Mm-hmm. I want to go visit it. I just don't know what that is. I can't unknow what I know. And so—
Or pretend like you don't know what you know.
And bless them when it comes to the stewardship list they're navigating.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got a thing that you're just like, that's a different planet.
Of course.
Don't even understand that.
Some people will be able to wrap their head around struggles. Some won't. Being radically honest might help, but there will always be people who won't get it. And that's okay. We've all been on both sides of the ocean of understanding. That's why being empathetic, regardless of the situation, is so important. I'll never forget someone asking me about ALS and saying, I don't know anything about it. Can you tell me more? I was so blown away by it because usually, especially in the beginning, I was met by a lot of glances and looking away as if most people were giving physical cues of, I don't want to talk about this or ask about it. Even just asking about the specifics and how Christopher felt that day seemed like a huge help in our journey. Regardless of what you share with others, Gayna Lynn says there is a very short sentence you should get comfortable saying.
Say no, and no is a really beautiful full sentence. And my friends that understand the longer story, I can say no and then more. Other people, I just say, you know what? That's not going to work for my schedule.
But thank you.
The second piece of advice for those with chronic illness, be intentional about your conversations regarding your struggles. People can't read minds, so tell them what they need to know. That may require some radical honesty, but don't forget the power of the word no. Not everything requires an explanation. Gayna Lynn's third piece of advice for chronic illness sufferers is to understand the difference between healing and wholeness. I love this part.
President Johnson is a leader of a women's organization in my faith, and she talks about healing versus wholeness. And when she taught that, I was just like weeping, as were so many people. Later on, she went on Instagram, and she said her husband has chronic back pain, and her son has MS. And I thought, of course she gave this talk.
Of course she understands this concept.
Of course she gets the idea that you can have all the faith in the world and the greatest relationship with God and not experience healing in this life.
Yeah.
But you can experience wholeness.
Yeah.
I don't feel like my life isn't whole.
And you don't feel like that plan that you and Rob scribbled out on a piece of paper for your whole life as newlyweds,
yep.
that you don't feel like you didn't get a great life.
No.
Gayna Lynn's third piece of advice for those who are chronically ill, and this is such a beautiful idea to me, understand the difference between healing and wholeness. They aren't mutually exclusive. We are so much more than our diagnosis. We may never be healed from them, but that doesn't mean we can't be whole. I remember Christopher saying, I am so much more interesting than my ALS.
I remember him asking us, "What I want more than anything is just for regular days, for my friends, for my family, just to come over and talk to me, laugh with me, have us do things as if everything's okay." Not ignoring the diagnosis, but also not treating him as if he was all his diagnosis. I think a big part of being able to find that wholeness is in seeing the miracles around us. Gaynellyn has a great story about a miracle that happened early on in her lupus journey, and it happened in the sugar aisle.
We had no money. We were both trying to go to school, and we had no insurance. It was early years, so just no timestamp. My lens was a lot of questions and some fear that was really loud and a lot of praying. And I went grocery shopping. I knew I could do grocery shopping like on a day that I had school and schoolwork mm-hmm. and newly married, and we were both working full time. And, you know, I was like, hey, I can choose this today, vacuuming or grocery shopping. And so I went grocery shopping, and we didn't have money. And I was praying. And I didn't feel good. I did not feel good. And I was on chemotherapy and on steroids, and it was just not pretty. I would pray over what was on the grocery list. And this is the sugar parable. And we needed sugar, and I turned down the sugar aisle. And, you know, some cute grocery clerk had accidentally cut all the sugar bags. Oh. When they had sliced with the X-Acto knife the boxes to get all the sugar bags out to put on the shelf. And literally, I don't know if they were like, maybe no one will notice, but they had stacked them all on the shelf, and they were all sliced and leaking sugar. And the grocery store couldn't sell them. And I got free sugar that day. And that was early into being diagnosed. And that was early into this really scary time. And I remember thinking God was in that story. Mm-hmm. And I've relied on that. I will literally pray over my to-do list and my schedule. And he will tell me. And some days there's not a magic free bag of sugar.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not telling that story because like it all works out. I will just say that me and God, I don't know another way to do. Raise babies. Have those babies. Graduate college, help get through teenage years with those babies, right? And go through unemployment, all while also having this other thing that was always there at the table with us, which is lupus. And my kids, I think we've had different conversations now where I can talk to them about God in their life because of how God is in my life. And their thing isn't lupus, but everybody's got a lupus. Everybody's got an ALS. Everybody's got the unexpected thing that they were like, wait, what? This was the plot twist, not on the bingo card. How are we going to navigate this? And I've had lots of them. But ultimately, like my core foundational relationship with God was greatly influenced with a chronic illness diagnosis, where I could not just be like, I'm in the driver's seat, God, you get in the back. I had to literally do the most basic stuff. That now most of the days, I've already done my laundry today, by the way, and the laundry's a lot less when there's not babies at home.
Yeah.
Right?
No kidding.
I'm not great at it. I still take over. I still think that I'm the control freak that can fix it all. But lupus has been the gift of God saying from the beginning, could you do adulthood with me and we'll do it together? And once in a while, you're going to turn the corner and there's going to be free sugar.
I'm so grateful to Gaynellyn for coming in today and sharing advice for those who are chronically ill and for those who want to support them. There's no perfect way to do this, folks, but there are some solid practices we can all adopt, regardless if we're sick or not. Don't assume you know what people are going through or that they know what you are going through. Ask questions and be radically honest when necessary. Communicate with grace and give each other the benefit of the doubt. Respect each other's business and don't overstep your own. And finally, remember that not everyone will be healed, but anyone can be whole. People are so much more than labels or a diagnosis. And that's not just good advice for people who are chronically ill. That's good advice for humans in general.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Becca Hurley-Lung, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Gracie Davis. A special thanks to today's guest, Gaynellyn Condi. A link to her website and Instagram will be in the show notes. Don't miss out on two other great podcasts from the Lisa Show family, The Council of Moms and Proofread, a new book review podcast to help you read more of what you love. You can find The Council of Moms and Proofread on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for your messages. We read them all. And thanks for listening.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in the awe-inspiring world of nature? Listen to Constant Wonder, another great show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. Join host Marcus Smith in riveting conversations with individuals whose lives have been touched by the Earth's beauty and mysteries. Uncover captivating stories that shed light on our planet's wonders, from history to science and beyond. If you crave enriching experiences and deeper connections with the world around you, tune into Constant Wonder. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.